Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Job. It's in the Old Testament. If you need that assistance, amen. Book of Job, chapter number 1. Amen. Boy, it's good to be in church, ain't it? Good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. Job chapter number 1, instead of reading the entire chapter as we did this morning, I'm just going to read the three accounts of Job's testimony.
Yeah.
Verse number 1 of chapter number 1, if you'd like to stand in reverence to the scripture. Job chapter number 1, as we stated, we'll read three verses that contain Job's testimony. Verse number 1 of chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil.
Amen.
Chapter 1, verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?
Yeah.
That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Chapter number 2, verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Let's remain standing for prayer. Father, we ask you to help us tonight. Lord, we need your touch. We need God, you to just get on us tonight. Lord, I know that it takes that spiritual enablement, that Holy Ghost unction, God, to make preaching. And I pray tonight for that power from on high. Lord, not to impress man and not for reputation, but that you could get the glory. Drive back the powers of hell. God, please do a work. There's folk in the service tonight that, Lord, their spiritual life is nowhere close to being, Lord, what it needs to be or even what it used to be. And dear Lord, show them, I pray, show us all, dear God, that we are responsible for where we are spiritually. Lord, if we're real low, or where, no matter where we are on our spiritual level, dear God, it is up to us and our choices that we make. Lord, we thank you that we're saved by grace, but Lord, as you revealed to us a long time ago, we're not spiritual by grace. Lord, we're spiritual based on choices we make, and we're spiritual based on our submission to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to control us and to fill us and saturate our life and lead us, and that we would follow him. Father, I pray now that you'd help us in these next few moments to preach your word. Lord, we must be spiritually minded. Lord, we must have spiritual discernment. Help us to have spiritual sensitivity tonight. And God, I'll thank and praise you. Bring in the wanderings of our mind. Deliver us from distractions. And God, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In these verses, as I pointed out this morning, we read the account given about Job's testimony. Chapter 1 and verse 1 and chapter 1 and verse number 8, two accounts of the testimony of Job, is identical to the one given in chapter 2 and verse number 3, except there's something added to this verse. And I'll read the verse and then emphasize the addition. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now, if we stop there, that would be the same report, Brother Brian, that was given of Job in chapter 1, verse 1, and also verse 8. But God adds something very important. God says, Job, still he holdeth fast his integrity. Still he holdeth fast After all the devil's done to this point, which wasn't light and it wasn't small but great. Oh, I want to tell you, buried all 10 of his children in one funeral service. Lost everything he had in one day. But yet the Bible said, now that wasn't Job saying it about himself, but it was God who cannot lie, and he never stretches the truth. He never stretches nothing. He never exaggerates nothing. Amen. What he says he means, and what he means he says. Amen. And God said about Job, still he retaineth, still he holdeth fast his integrity. And I pointed out this morning that I believe that one of the most hated words in the whole 42 chapters of the book of Job is that word still. The devil don't care if you held fast your integrity, past tense. Amen. When the trial come and the adversity come and the affliction come and the attack came and all of a sudden your steel was gone. Your S-T-I-L-L was gone. And your integrity was something in the past. Your convictions were something in the past. But oh, the Bible said still. Still he holdeth fast his integrity. What does that say? Devil, you lose. You just thought that I'd crumble when grief come in my life. You just thought when I had financial reversement that I'd fizzle out and throw my Bible aside and quit praying and quit going to church. Devil, you just thought you had me figured out. I want to tell you, deep in the recesses of my soul is a devotion and a dedication and a submission to God. Amen. Amen. He stayed true. Still. Devil hates that word still. Some of you, I guarantee it, somewhere in your life, the devil thought he had you, Brother Jack. I guarantee you, I could pass around the microphone in here, and I guarantee you, we could get report after report after report of something you faced, something that you went through, and the devil crawled up on your shoulder and whispered to you, yep, you're going to end up cursing God. You're going to end up quitting. You're going to end up throwing in the towel. But oh, thank God. I'm glad that my endurance is not of the flesh. I'm glad, thank God, my perseverance is not a physical quality. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God puts within the child of God, in spite of a storm, in spite of hardship, in spite of a uncertainty, and in spite of all that he can put in your life. I'm glad God's put in our life that keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. Amen. But the devil as a thief, this is what we're preaching about. I thought this got big to me. The one thing that the devil targeted was Job's testimony. He had a vendetta against God. The devil hates God. Therefore, you ought to hate the devil. Anything that's against God, I'm against. Anything that hurts and dishonors God, you ought to be against as a child of God. Oh, God, help us to not make any choices to walk paths of unrighteousness. Amen. But rather, as Psalm 23, he leadeth us in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. That is how we live, reflects upon his worthy name. Amen. I'm preaching, I've started this morning, and I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but I'm preaching on that thief. I'm preaching on Satan's desire to steal your steal. He's desiring to S-T-E-A-L. He's desiring to steal your steal, that S-T-I-L-L. Amen. To steal, what the thief does, means to take what does not belong to him. To take what belongs to you, and he takes it away. But the word steal, S-T-I-L-L, means to remain in place. Oh, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Oh, don't even entertain the thought of quitting. Reverse is not even in your spiritual transmission. Amen. 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 Just forward. Forward. Put it in overdrive. Put the pedal to the metal. Amen. Do away with your brakes and just go all the way for the Lord. But I'm talking about how the devil, as a thief, desires to target my testimony and to target your testimony so that he can take that word steal out of your life. He don't care, Brother Fultz, listen, about you or me or any of us in here. If he says, well, they used to go to church. They used to pray. They used to preach. They used to teach. They used to sing. They used to visit. They used to this and they used to that spiritually. He don't care how much of that you can say. He wants to take that S-T-I-L-L away. He don't want you to still be doing it. Amen? So he's targeting your testimony. Does that make any? Does that carry any weight with us tonight? The devil wants to get back at God. The devil hates God. And he wants to get back at God. And you know what he's choosing in the book of Job? He's choosing to attack one of God's youngins. Knowing that if he could get their testimony, do away with that S-T-I-L-L, then he can, the devil, can go to God with bragging rights and said, see, I told you that they were serving you for naught. I told you they were only interested in your hand and not your heart. Right. Oh yeah. That's right, isn't it? Right. Boy, that's sticking steadfast. It's very important in these days. Right. We're in those days. Listen, if this is not those days of the great falling away, I don't know what it's going to be like. Amen. Amen. Right. It's not in full force. Because what's going to be in 5 to 10 years is going to be a far cry worse than what we're seeing tonight. We're in the sunshine tonight compared to what it's going to be in a few years if everything keeps going on the present course. And our country's on a collision course with the judgment of God. You can believe that. Amen. That's very evident, friend. Oh, yeah. Amen. In fact, there's been a lot of countries already destroyed for what this country's condoning. Amen. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah is laying in ashes because of sin that America's lifting up and making politically correct. You think God's going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah and let our country get by with it? You think He's going to let this country drink millions of gallons and rivers of alcohol every week and get by with it? You think he's going to allow this country to slaughter millions of innocent little unborn babies and get by with it? No, sir, friend. And the list could go on. The list could go on. But how important is it to you to have that word steel in your life? Brother Mark Green pointed this out to me after the service this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3. You don't have to turn there, just listen. And here's what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, as I besought thee, talking to Timothy, to abide still at Ephesus. Timothy, there's a work that needs to be done here at Ephesus. There's a job to do, and God needs somebody that'll stay here. Abide still at Ephesus. And when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Timothy, we need you to stand still. We need you to abide still. Church, God needs us to abide still. Stay put. Stay by the stuff. Amen. That's right. Amen. Now, hey, listen, I believe this now. I believe this. Now, if there's situations, and I believe God moves people. I believe God moves preachers. Amen. I believe that. Some of you looking a little strange. Amen. That's all right. Listen, you know what you do with a sinking ship? Get off of it. Amen. Listen, I'm talking about if there's no hope of turning that church around in for righteousness, amen. You know what you're gonna have to do instead of dying with it and allowing your family to die with it? Adios, amigos. Is that right, brother? That's right. Tip your hat and say, I'm out of here. Amen. That's right. If it can be turned, turn it. But if it can't be turned, find somewhere where God can feed you and help you and give you something. Amen. That's right. That's what we did. I don't mean to get historical here, but that's what we did. The church I got saved in, my grandpa started that church many, many years ago. And that church, my friend, went in a direction that was contrary to the Word of God in some areas. It was, just to be honest with you, I don't care. It was a Southern Baptist church. It was. And they supported the corrupt, the cooperative program. And my pastor got to using their information, their literature, the Southern Baptist Advocate and the Southern Baptist Journal, and began to expose what the money was going to, what that organization was supporting with money that we sent. And I'm going to tell you right here now, I will not go to a church I can't tithe to.
Right.
And I can't tithe to a church that I know they're supporting corruption. You say, it's not up to me after my money goes in the plate. It's out of my hands. No, if you know it's going to some corrupt purpose, you're responsible for that. If you give a drunk $10 and you know right well he's going down to the beer store, you're responsible. Amen. That's good preaching, isn't it? And so my pastor, listen, I'm talking about if you can't turn, I don't mind where I'm on that. But if you can't turn it, then there's nothing you can do. And we tried to turn that thing, and it turned into an all-out war, literally. I mean, we had seatbelts on the pews and airbags and all that. I mean, it was terrible. I've told you in some of it, but you wouldn't believe it. I mean, it was awful at the war. You cross tradition, buddy, they'll people will cut your head off. But we couldn't turn it, so we pulled out and started Victory Baptist Church. Amen. Well, hallelujah, I like it. Myself. All right, let me get back in a message. I don't know how in the world I got on that. Amen. Praise God. I liked it, though. Felt good. I want to talk about number one. The facts. The facts about, we all know now, it's evident that the devil was after Job's testimony. That was his intent. God, if you'll touch this, and if you'll take this, if you'll let this happen, here's what Job will do. Job will curse you to your face. You know what that is? That's a destroyed testimony. That's a destroyed testimony. That's a person that is not holding fast his integrity. That's a person that used to please God or whatever. Amen? Oh, yeah. So the devil is after his testimony. And I want you to know, and I want myself to be reminded, the devil is after our testimony. The devil is after our testimony. But here's some facts. Write it down, some facts. What is it about this that I think God wants us to deal with? Listen to this. This is good. And then this facts, under the facts here, we're going to deal with two basic things. We're going to deal with the general facts, and then we're going to deal with some specific facts. And that's probably as far as we'll get tonight. General facts. What are some general facts about Job's testimony? These are just some things the Lord showed me. First of all, I believe I can point out there was the scarcity of his testimony. I believe that's just a general fact. A scarcity. Where do you get that? Well, look at the question that God asked the devil in chapter 1 and verse number 7. And the Lord said, well, let's read verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, notice this now. From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Wouldn't you agree with me that the devil's looking for something? By the fact that he said that I've been going to and fro in the earth and I've been walking up and down in it, he's telling God I've been looking. Well, what gives us indication of what he was looking for? The next statement. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Job that there's none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. You know what I believe he's saying, Brother Webb? I believe he's saying, hey, devil, I know what you've been looking for. You've been looking for somebody that loves God and serves God and pleases God, one that fears God, escheweth evil and all of that, that's who you've been looking for. And God says, hey, have you considered my servant? Have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, I'm paraphrasing, the devil said, oh yeah, yeah, I've done looked at his address. I've done checked him out, but I've noticed something. He's got a hedge about him. Brother Fultz, did you know this? God wasn't the one that told us about the hedge. God let the devil testify to us, we've got a hedge. Amen. I know the devil's a liar, but there was one time he told the truth. Amen. Hey, that we've got a hedge about us. And the devil told God, yeah, I've been checking him out. And I've really had I'd like to put my scope on him. I'd like to shoot him down. I'd like to take that steel away from that man. Oh, what a trophy I would have if I could get him. But I can't get him, God, because you've got a hedge about him. What is that saying? I believe it's a letting us know, church, that what the devil is looking for, he's a going to and fro in the world. He's looking up and down. He's going from here to there. And he's looking for a child of God that he can destroy. But the indication there is there's a scarcity of it. The devil said, I've been a going to and fro. I've been walking up and down in this world. You know what he's saying? I can't find much. I can't find too many that I don't already have. I can't find too many that are servants of God. I can't find too many that fears God. I can't find too many that's perfect and upright. I can't find too many that escheweth evil. Scarcity. Brother, if you've got a testimony tonight that you're pleasing God, loving God, serving God, you are in the minority. So that we notice that, I believe that's very clear to see there was a scarcity of it. And there's not as many people loving God, serving God today as you think. Right. Amen. And the devil's not after those that's not causing him any trouble. The devil's not after that carnal crowd. He's already got that crowd. He's not after that liberal crowd because they're not causing him any conflict. They're not being salt and light and causing him some problems. He's looking for that Bible-toting crowd. He's looking for that crowd that's filled with the Spirit and that crowd that's wanting to please God more than anything. That crowd that has surrendered all. That crowd that's submitted themselves unto God. That's the one the devil's looking for. I wonder if he come looking at your address, could he find somebody like that? Huh? Ask a lady one time in South Carolina, I said, how are you doing? She said, oh, I'm doing fine. The devil's leaving me alone. I said, ma'am, that's not fine. She looked at me strange, like, what? Devil's leaving me alone, it's not good? Well, I said, it's good for the flesh, but I said, that's a bad testimony. I said, if you mess with him, he's going to mess with you. And if he's not bothering you, it's because you're not bothering him. Amen. Yeah, she wanted to go to the next aisle in the grocery store after that. I found out that the closer I get to God, the more into the crosshairs of the devil I get. Hey, the more problems that come my way. Amen. You think the devil's going to let you just love Jesus and serve God and please God and him not bother you? Oh, no. He's looking for Job. He's looking for somebody that he can attack that's got a testimony pleasing God. He's wanting to steal your steel. The scarcity of it. Number two, the singularity of it. God could have said, have you considered and named off 10 people? He could have named off 50 people. He could have named off 1,000 people. God could have done that if they were there. But he said, out of all the planet population, Brother Tim, God says, hey, have you considered my servant, not servants, but my servant, singular, Job? There's the scarcity of it, and then there's the singularity of it. Amen? Now that tells me something. That tells me that I can have Job's testimony alone. No, whether you don't have to have a crowd. You don't have to have a crowd to have a testimony. In fact, more likely if you got a crowd, you don't have much of a testimony. Are you listening? Woe be unto them, that man that everybody speaks well of. Jesus preached. He's a perfect preacher. And you know what? He couldn't keep a crowd. As long as he had a miracle in his hand, there's a crowd following. But when he'd preach a message, they'd leave. Amen. As long as he was a rolling, walking, mobile hospital for everybody, there's ready. The man, let's follow him. Let's go. But as soon as he'd rip her hide up about sin, they was gone. Amen. I guarantee these big mega churches that you see all over this world today, these big mega, I guarantee Jesus Christ just walked through and just give a testimony. They'd either kill him or there wouldn't be enough left to turn the lights out. Yeah. But the gospel that's being preached today and from most pulpits is non-offensive. People can live like the devil and they don't mind it. Well, amen. I don't need to get on that. But listen, there's a scarcity of that testimony. There's a singularity of the testimony. Then there's a spirituality of that testimony. Everything that was said about Job in the verses that I read to you were spiritual. Now listen, he did have the testimony in verse number 3 and 4 and all that. He did have a testimony of the financial and the material. He was a blessed man. I mean, he had a lot of sheep and cattle and all of those things. He had a lot of things. He was a blessed man. But that never took rank over his spiritual life. Right. Let it be on record tonight, there's nothing wrong with you having things as long as things don't have you. Right. There's nothing wrong with having money, I guess. There's nothing wrong with having money, but the problem comes in when money has you. And you throw God out the window for $1.298. Spirituality of it, I get that point from the fact that all the testimonies that I read to you came from God. It wasn't Job's announcement of himself, but it was what God said about Job. And we'll comment more on that. Number four, the fourth general statement is that it was... See, there is the seeing of it. Job's testimony was visible. I wouldn't give you a dime for secret Christianity.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Jesus didn't die for you in secret. He died on a cross, exposed in the eyes of humanity, hung between heaven and earth in shame and under the condemnation of my sin and yours. He didn't die in a closet. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. And he don't want you to live in a closet.
Right.
Amen. That's right. That liberal, immoral crowd, they're coming out of the closet and God's people is going in the closet.
Right.
Well, who saw it? Who saw it? See, the seeing of it, it's visible, and your testimony ought to be visible. Does your friends know what your testimony are? Amen. Could your friends give us a testimony about you? Could your friends take the witness stand and give a testimony about you tonight? That boy you've been talking to, girls, could he give a testimony about you?
Good.
A spiritual one.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
How many times out of them multiplied hundreds of thousands of texts you send, how often do you mention Jesus and salvation in the Bible? How long has it been since you sent a text of a verse of Scripture?
Right.
Hello, is it getting quiet in here?
Right.
Some of you are breaking out in a sweat already.
Right.
Amen. I'm talking about visible. It was seen. First, it was seen of the devil. The devil told God, yeah, I've noticed Job. Yeah, I've checked him out. I've seen his situation. I know. I know. Everything God said about Job, the devil didn't deny it. Oh, Satan saw it. Society seen it. And then the sovereign seen it. God seen it. And I want to focus on that just for a few minutes right here. About God seeing your testimony. God seeing your testimony. Did you know that Job trusted God? But did you know the opposite is true? God trusted Job. Can God trust you? Can God put any faith in you and trust in you? Hey, devil, hey. Right over there's one. Have you considered my servant, Job? Have you considered my servant Job? You know what God was saying? I've got confidence in his devotion. I've got confidence in, I trust Job, that if you put the heat on Job, Job's going to stand still and stay true. He's still going to retain his integrity. I wonder if God could speak about us with any kind of confidence that if a storm come, Brother Fultz, we'd stay true. Listen to this. Listen to this right here. I'm going to skip down through here. Listen to this. God give this to me. What God said about Job was what God had saw in Job. When God said that there was none like him in the earth, he meant that. That wasn't an exaggeration. There was none like him, Brother Travis. And then when he said that Job was perfect and upright and one that feared God and escheweth evil, God said, I'm not just saying that, I'm seeing that. What God is seeing is what God is saying. What could God say about us that would come from his seeing? Amen? Now listen, I'm not talking about what... Let me ask you this question, and I know what the answer is going to be. What does God know about you? What would your answer be? And that is true. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. What knowledge does God have that come from observation? Listen, what he said about Job did not come from his omniscience. Everybody know what omniscience means? Made up of two words, omni, O-M-N-I, meaning all. And the last word is science, meaning knowledge, all knowledge. Right. Omniscience, meaning all knowing. Right. What God said about Job did not come from omniscience. It came from observation. Yeah. Right. What God saw, he said. What could God say about us? What knowledge does God have about us that comes from observation that he said, man, that she fears God. Why? I see that. Amen. He escheweth evil. I see that. He's upright in his generation. I see that. There's none like him in the earth. I see that. What does God know about us that comes from observation? From him looking, from him seeing. Let me give you some examples. In Genesis chapter number 6, or excuse me, chapter 7 and verse 1, you know what God said to Noah? God said to Noah, come thou and all thine house into the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation. God said, hey, Noah, I've been watching you. Now, God don't watch to know. God don't learn anything from watching. But there is something to be said that God sees something that blesses him. And he said, Noah, I've seen thee righteous before me. Now you could go back into chapter number 6 and you can find in verse number 5, here's what it says. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God is saying, I see the world. I see all of the world and they're wicked. But then he says to Noah, Noah, I've seen you righteous before me. Brother Frank, it pays for us to live for God. It pays for us to make choices of purity and holiness. It makes a difference. Why? God's looking. Whether anybody else is looking or not, God's looking. Amen. Oh, yeah. What does God know about you that comes from observation? Amen. Let me give you another example. Chapter 25, verse 21 of Matthew's gospel. You know the story when I read it. The Lord said unto him, the servant, well done. Everybody hear that? Right. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Did you see it? Did you see the commentary of observation there? Did you see? Well done comes from something that has been done well. Well done. It comes on the end of the doing of it. God says, as the Lord says to the servant, I've been watching you. Well done. I've been watching how you've obeyed me. I've been watching how you was given the details. Well done. Details. I'll never forget Brother Buster Mullins talking to a missionary. I forgot where it was, and if y'all were at Union, you heard him preach it and tell it. And he was talking about this particular missionary, how that he had the power of God on him. And Brother Mullins asked him, said, what's the secret? What's the secret, preacher, to your power, you having power with God and power with man? And that missionary said, give attention to details. Little things, just little things. Give attention to details. The secret to power. I was visiting a home yesterday. And while I was visiting this home, they had someone there cleaning the house. And while I was conversing with the people, I noticed this lady cleaning the house. At how detailed the cleaning was. I mean, stuff that could have easily, she could have got by with. She was paying, and I even commented. I said, ma'am, I said, I just want you to know, I've been watching you clean while I've been talking to this family. And I said, you are giving yourself the detail. Things that you could get by with, things that they probably would have never known whether you touched it with a rag or not. But you was doing it right. I said, I just want you to know, I appreciate that. And I wanted you to know, I noticed that. Amen. Amen. Not just giving it a lick and a wish and a hit and a promise and not just getting by with, but giving details. Details. What does God know about you? Well done, thou good and faithful. How could he say good and faithful if they weren't good and faithful? Amen. Thou hast been faithful. Hast. This is a testimony after the fact. Thou hast been faithful. Folks, may it speak to us tonight. God is watching. God is looking. God is looking. Amen. Let me deal with some specifics. And I know I won't get done with this, but I want to at least start. We're talking about the facts. You remember that? The facts about his testimony. We talked about some general facts about his testimony. Then some specific facts about his testimony. That's what I want to deal with now, or at least start. And I may not get but just the first one or two. The first thing I noticed about the specifics about his testimony. Now I just got through talking about importance of details, right? God is giving details about Job's testimony. Let me tell you about a man who lived in the land of Uz and gave details. Could he say, let me tell you about a young lady or a young man, a mom, a dad, a grandma, grandpa that lives in Rogersville. Let me tell you about one that lives in the land of Hawkins County. Could he think about you? Could he name some specifics about us tonight? Oh, listen to this. The first thing, boy, this blessed me. The first thing that was said about Job that caught my attention, and he says it several times throughout the book, the first specific is that he was a servant of God. That's the first element of his detail, of the detail and the specific of his testimony. Now keep in mind, this is God talking about Job. It's not Job talking about himself. It's God talking about Job. And God says, he's my servant. He's my servant. Can you think of any higher honor for God to say about you than that? My servant. Hey, he's my servant. He's my servant. my servant. He's my servant. Boy, there's a lot of truth right in that. There's a lot right there. A servant is one who is devoted and dedicated to carrying out the will and the work of another. For God to say, my servant Job. For God to say, my servant Job, he's saying, Job is faithful to carrying out my will. Whatever I want, whatever I don't want, Job's faithful. He's my servant. He carries out my will. He carries out what I want. He surrendered to me. It's not about him. It's about me, God could say. Let me say this quickly about Job being a servant. Trials don't necessarily come in your life because of sin. They may be coming in your life because you're a servant. Now you can suffer without sinning, but you can't sin without suffering. Are you listening? Listen to this right here. Job, according to the layout now in chapter 1, Job had riches, he had rank, and he had recognition, yet still he was a servant of God. God will never lead you into any kind of field of work that'll take you away from being a servant of God. Well, could I not preach right there for a few minutes? Right. How many people that I have seen in my own short ministry of soon to be 33 years have that I've seen them do good spiritually, and then they sell God out for a few dollars on the hour. Right. And their spiritual life goes down the tubes. And you know what they'll tell you? Well, preacher, I got bills. And listen, don't read into what I'm preaching now what I'm not preaching. Thank God for those that pay their bills. But you better be weary and leery that you don't fill your life up with bills. Put your oxen in the ditch to where you have to work 15 jobs and let people pay you to borrow your coon dog or your rabbit hound just so you can pay the bills. Well, preacher, I'm sorry, I can't come to church. I've got 5 four-wheelers and 4 boats. I mean, I got to be a good steward, preacher. I got to pay my bills. Just need better make sure all those bills you're paying is those that God led you in. I believe this. And this is a whole other message, but I believe this, that debt is one of the greatest enemies of spirituality. Financial strain have split up and destroyed many marriages. Say amen right there. He was a servant of God. Amen. He allowed that to stay in priority. He allowed it. Listen, can you imagine? Can you imagine that list given there in verse 3 and 4 and 5, 4, 3 and 4 specifically? Can you imagine what kind of an operation that Job had? How many servants he had? I mean, I've never fed sheep, but I wonder how many servants and how long it'd take to feed 7,000 sheep. What about camels? I forgot how many gallons of water a camel can hold. And they're humongous, amen. How would you like to feed 3,000 camels? How many people you think, what kind of operation you think that was? 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. Job, I'm telling you, was a big time businessman. But God still said, he's my servant. That's a lot to be said right there. God wants you and me and all of us. And listen, I don't believe God blesses laziness. I don't believe God blesses sorriness. Are you listening? I'm not going to name names. Thank God. But we have an individual in our church that works their line of work works in that field of dealing with sorry, no count parents. And just, you know, I mean, y'all know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to mention names because it's on tape. But I mean, she's told me, actually just this week, told me about times where she's had to go in and take children out of homes that just beyond nasty, not just beyond nasty. Sorry, lazy, no account, couch potato parents wouldn't strike a lick at a snake. That makes my blood boil right there. God will never bless. Listen, thank God for people that are diligent and people that are good stewards and you're trying to carry your own load and your own weight financially. But listen, don't ever let anything take rank over you being a servant of God. What a testimony. Do you think the devil targeted him? Do you think the devil wanted to shoot him down? A servant of God has fallen. Boy, he'd have loved to have been able to say that. Listen to this. What Job had and what he didn't have had no bearing on him being a servant. Boy, that's good. Before the trials come, when he had all of that list I gave, listen, when he had all of that and more, he was called my servant, Job. After all the kids were dead, all of his finances were gone, all the cattle were animals were gone, the cattle were gone, all of that were gone, all the servants had been slain. After all of that, in chapter number 2, we find there in verse number 3, hast thou considered my servant Job? He's still called my servant. The trial didn't stop him from serving God. Losing all everything didn't stop him from serving God. And I just saw this while the choir was singing. Chapter 42, 4 times in 2 verses. Chapter 42, verse number 7, my servant Job, he ends the verse. Verse number 8, go to my servant Job. A couple of lines later, and my servant Job shall pray for you. Goes another little, a few more lines, and he says, my servant Job, 4 times. You say, what are you saying? You go at the first of the book, before the trial come, he's my servant Job. You look in chapter 2, amen. After the storm hit, all of his children were dead and all the cattle and camels were gone. The servants were dead. He was still called my servant Job. After three friends come in and falsely accused him, guess what? 42 chapters later, 4 times, God said, he's still my servant, Job. My soul. Let me give you one more and I'm done. Hallelujah. Who Job was did not come from what he had. Job was a servant when he had it. He was a servant when he didn't have it. Now, I know that sounds simple, but how many times have we fluctuated depending on circumstances and depending on situations? And we was a servant when it was sunshine, but when the clouds come in, we collapsed. And yeah, I know, we're all like that. Shame on us. Shame on us. God help us. Shame on us. And I believe this. This is a whole other subject, but not a whole other subject, but a line of thought. What Job was in the storm, he was already before the storm. That's it right there, Brother Craig. I just seen that. The storm only surfaced what was really in Job to begin with. When the storm comes and people quits and falls out and fizzles out, that was in them the whole time. You know what the best thing we can do before the storms ever come? And they're coming. Right. Don't you think for a second, buddy, that there's not some national storms coming in this country. Don't think for a second there's not some ecclesiastical storms, which is church storms, coming in this country. Are you listening? There may come a time. There may come a time that I may even be threatened with jail over preaching against sin. Are you listening? I mean, already the American Family Association's listed in with the KKK and the Black Panthers and all that other hate crowd. American Family Association that stands up for the family is listed as a hate group along with the Black Panthers and the KKK and all that other bunch. That's what we think of us. You preach against sin, you're going to be illegal one day. Oh yeah, I'm talking about in the USA. But now if you're off the wall and off your rocker and crazy as a bed bug and live like a stinking dog, they'll give you a paycheck every month and encourage your sin. Whoa! That's right. I heard on the radio the other day how many, something like 90% of Americans depend on the government already. Man, I can't do right. I can't do get me a job and mess my check up. People shacked up, living in sin. Won't get married because it'll mess a check up. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me give you this one. The specifics now. We're talking about the specifics of his testimony. He was a servant. Let me give you this one. You ready?
Amen.
He stood out. That's what he said. Look what it says. Verse 1 of chapter 1, there was a man of the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Look at verse number 8. Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth. You know what that means? He stood out. Do we stand out? I mean, if you go out there tonight, I mean, I can tell the sun's done went down. Most time we get out in dark time anyhow, amen. But you can go right out there tonight. It's dark. You can turn a light on. Son, it stands out, don't it? Do you stand out? You kids that go to school here around in the public school system right here, do you stand out? Do you stand out? Are you listed? Are you named as one of the Jesus-loving, God-loving, Bible-loving? Do you stand out? You know what's the easiest to do? And you hear me preach it all the time around here. You know what's the easiest? Blend. Blend in, preacher. Just blend in. Just kind of mix in. Look like them. Talk like them. Listen to the same music. Talk their same talk. Blend. But you'll never be a blessing by blending. You'll never be effective by blending. Because they're going to look at you as one of them already. They're not going to listen to what you got to say because they think that they've already got what you've got. If you don't have enough to make you different, you don't have enough to make them different. They don't want what you got. Do you stand out? You stand out among others when you're around others? Is your language different? When you're around others, amen, is your behavior different? Is your attitude different? Job stood out. God said, I want to tell you what I know about Job from observation. There's none like him in the earth. Job wasn't interested in being one of the number. Job wasn't interested in being one of the crowd. Job was wanting to please God. And God said, I'll tell you what I know about Job. There's none like him. John the Baptist. Hey, God, what did you say about John the Baptist? What's your testimony about John? None greater ever born of a woman than John the Baptist.
Right.
That come from observation. Are we listening?
Amen.
He stood out. There's none like him in the earth. How many people in church are making efforts to stand out? Stand out. Be different. Amen. Job was not trying to copy other people, but rather he was wanting to be one for others to copy. Noah, God said, I've seen you righteous before me in this generation. How many got on board that ark? 8 people, and they were all Noah's family. The whole population of the world, and I've been told could have been as high as 3 million worldwide. And the only ones God said was righteous out of the whole world's population was Noah. Talking about standing out. Enoch, you know what was said about Enoch? Walked with God. Had a testimony. Hebrews 11 said he had a testimony that he pleased God. How many others was walking with God? Oh, you said, preacher, if I was in Enoch's day, I'd have lived for God. Enoch walked with God for 300 years prior to the flood when wickedness abounded on every hand. You know what I think? Well, it don't matter what I think. This is what I know. If you want to live for God, you can. I'd probably go a little stronger. If you want to live for God, you will. Preacher preaching good already tonight?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You know why you don't stand out? You don't want to. Oh.
Right.
Yeah. You know why you don't stand out at the workplace? You know why you don't stand out at home, in the neighborhood, among your friends? Because you don't want to. You want to fit in. That's why you don't stand out. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. But I'll tell you this, for what it's worth, God never uses anybody unless they want to be different. Amen. The 3 Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, want to be different. Everybody else is bound to the image. Everybody else is controlled with the music. Everybody else is doing what everybody else is doing. But when the time come, even with the threat of the fiery furnace, they still would not bow. He stood out, did he not? Job's testimony was independent of all other people. Thank God we can fellowship, and thank God we can be fellow laborers, and we can support each other, and we can walk together, and amen, we can do that. But I want to tell you what the real Bible truth is for all of us. You can live for God whether anybody else is with you.
Right.
You can live for Jesus, Brother Craddock, whether anybody is supporting you.
Right. Right.
Amen. He stood up. He was a servant of God. That's the first specific of his testimony. No wonder the devil targeted him. No wonder the devil had his sight set on Job. Man, I need to shoot him down. And he stood out. And there's others, but we won't mention them tonight. Let's all stand to our feet.